Our first part of our message is from Psalm 46. And then we're going to go from Psalm 46 to Psalm 23, which is always a wonderful psalm to read. I've been in a lot of scrapes in my life and a lot of hard times, and through a lot of operations and through a lot of tests, and a lot of times I would just quote scripture as I'm going through torture. I can remember so many times that I was just almost unbearable what I was going through. And I just quote this Psalm 23 and Psalm 46. We live in uncertain times. A powerful and wicked organization has taken over in this country. And our lives are going to change dramatically. And I don't really adapt very well to change, and I know, Marilyn, you don't, and I don't think you do either, Sharon, or anyone else out there listening. It's being normal. Just getting up and doing the same thing over and over again, and having the same comforts, and seeing the people that you love, and everything's okay. Well, we have our first message. Part of our message is from a psalm, one of the sons of Korah. And this is a song. And it's for a choir director. And it's a psalm, a song of comfort. Like at Calvary, the old rugged cross, etc. A person could make a song out of this song. You know, David was the greatest songwriter of all time, but the words that we have here from one of the sons of Korah is a very, very important comfort today. Our message is a type of heaven. Voices from heaven. We had a message today called Voices from Hades. Now we're going to get a voice from heaven. These are psalms or songs of comfort. As I went out as a baby, basically, on March the 14th, I was born on January the 18th, on March the 14th of the very same year, my mother and my father wrote out a note legally establishing my grandmother as my guardian. I was less than 2 months old. And I leaned on her heavy. My grandmother loved me. She loved me. I can say that she loved me. The only love that I knew at that time. And I lost her in 1961, in January. I was still a young boy. And I turned to God. Because I had no mother, no father, no one that loved me like she had. My world changed in one day. I am thankful that I had my stepfather Dale, even though he was very rough on me and treated me harshly. Later in life, he loved me and appreciated me for what I was. He had two other natural sons, but neither one of them was with him nor loved him like I did. I miss him every day. I miss my grandmother every day. But my life changed, and now our world is changing. And this is a song, in a song of comfort for change. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That word present there means right now. He's at our side. He's at our beckoning call. Verse number 2, therefore we will not fear though the earth around us all changes. Everything, our whole atmosphere changes. I remember in 1975 and early in 76, I went to the Middle East on an archaeological tour. I got 4 units of biblical archaeology for me going to the Middle East. Every place I went in the Middle East was an absolute danger. I was in danger night and day. I mean, constantly. I don't know whether you've ever been in a war or not and heard bullets whistling around you, but I did over there. I mean, bullets whistled almost daily. A man tried to break into our hotel room one night, and I had my knife with me. Back then, I carried my pocket knife, which was sharp as a razor. Brother Madden was sitting over there on another bed. He said, "Brother Phillips, you hear that?" I said, "Yeah." They tried to get into the room. I reached down my pants, and I got my knife out, and I opened it up. That was a very primitive. I was in Damascus, Syria, people. In the city of Damascus, in the Oriental Palace Hotel, where 220 light bulbs came down with 2 wires, and you turned them on, they just hung swinging, and you could see open wires here and there, twin lead coming in. The bathroom floor was dirty with hundreds of years of dirt in it, Brother Madden said. That floor hasn't been washed in a century. I don't know how old that place was. It was horrible. I went in there, and I walked in there, and every time I took a step, the Oriental rugs, the Persian carpets, every time I took a step, dust cloud came up. And I went over there, and I hit my bed, and the dust cloud came up. Boy! And I was there for 9 days in that. The food wasn't fit to eat. In constant fear of your life. We walked down this one street. Every time we walked by the courthouse, there were 3 men hanging there by the neck by ropes, dead. For all the time I was there, 9 days, they were still hanging there. I didn't know who was going to be next. Brother Madden, we get in there, and it's not legal to pray in these countries. But we'd pray at our table. Nobody else did. Brother Cross says, "Brother Madden, you're going to get us all killed." He'd say things. "You're going to get us all killed." He said, "I fought these heathens in World War II. I'll fight them again." Heathens. Heathens. Anyway, it was scary. We were there at the tail at Jericho, and bullets were flying, and you could hear them going, drr, drr, drr. If you don't believe me, just go to the website there and go to the Middle East tour and go listen to where it was Jericho. You can hear the machine gun fire and the bombs going off in the background, and maybe even a bullet whistling, what we call a ricochet. We were there, Brother Madden said, "Brother Phillips, I was in World War II. And we had foxholes, and I feel like digging one." It was rough. One time, we were in Syria, we were in Lebanon, almost got shot in Lebanon. They were trying to kill their president. the airplane, we flew across the Mediterranean Sea. I was in the 707. The thing was wore plumb out. Excuse my okey. It was wore plumb out. The seat, the wall of the cabin was hitting. You better not have your arm just on the other side of that seat or armrest, because you're going to get squished every now and then because the wall of that cabin was going like this. And I looked out there, and the first engine next to me, oil was running out of it constantly. I got the steward. I said, "You see that oil coming out of that engine?" "Yeah." I said, "Is that normal?" He said, "No." I said, "I think you better go tell the captain. Is that engine going to burn up or catch on fire, and I'm right here a few feet away from it, or what's going to happen here? We're flying over the Mediterranean. All the way from Rome, Italy to Beirut, Lebanon, where they're about, and they follow us in with anti-aircraft cannons. This is wonderful. It's very exhilarating. You don't need heart medicine to make your heart beat faster. You don't need any digitalis. Anyway, about a half an hour later, I asked the steward, I said, "Did you tell the captain?" "Oh, no, I forgot." So he goes up there and gets the captain out of the cabin. He comes back and looks out there. Like that. Doesn't say anything. Then he calls, gets up there, and I hear him talking in Arabic on the radio. He said, "Well, we're going to land in Beirut, Lebanon." We land up in Beirut, Lebanon, and here they come out with they follow us in with the anti-aircraft cannons. Brother Madden said, "But Phillips, you see them cannons following us, boy? This is reminds me of the old days when I was over here." Well, we sat down, and they came out there with a Jeep with a machine gun on it, telling us not to get off that airplane. They finally went out and brought another Jeep with a ladder on it, and they got up there and poured oil in that engine that was ailing. And then we flew over the mountain range and landed in Damascus, Syria, another hot spot in the Middle East. I was over there for several months, and I don't remember what month I was in Israel, but I remember going to the Sea of Galilee and going in a boat ride all the way across the Sea of Galilee, and there were two flags there. One of them was Israeli and the other one was the United States of America, Old Glory. And I felt real good right then, seeing that flag wave. I wish I was back home. But I was preparing for this. It was scary. Down in Arabia, Amman, Jordan, with the tanks going down the road and the ground shaking all night long from heavy artillery moving. The king of Jordan was running the PLO out, and the PLO were going into Lebanon trying to kill the president down there, and I was in the middle of all this baloney. Now, I kept reading Psalm 23, and I kept reading this Psalm 46. Having nightmares. Sick with dysentery. In a foreign land. Lost 40 pounds. Sick with dysentery. Dying with this stuff. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. It's a great big earthquake, isn't it? Though its waters roar like foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Now, Marilyn and I have been in earthquakes, haven't we? A lot of them, actually. One night up here, I was just dead asleep in the middle of the night. 3 o'clock, 3:07 in the morning, I think.
4 o'clock.
What was it?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
I remember.
I was laying in bed, and the house was shaking. I mean, it was the middle of the night, and this house was shaking. My bed was bouncing up and down off the floor and bouncing across the floor. I didn't think it was ever going to stop. I've been in earthquakes before. They only last for a few seconds. This went on and on and on and on. Some people clocked it at 1 to 3 minutes of continuous shaking. That's a lot of shaking going on. Marilyn and I got up, and we were up. I went out and shut the water well off because earthquakes are not good for water wells. And I spent a lot of money on that. But our world was changing real fast. Foundation cracked in some places, walls and everything. I mean, everything was all cracking up. Glasses, pictures were falling off the walls and hitting the floor and glass breaking. And the Lord was in heaven. Now, Psalm 23, the most beautiful song that's ever been written in the history of the world. Love Me Tender, all of those songs, Elvis, all of these people couldn't hold a light to David. David's the greatest song leader in the last 4,000 years. David writes this psalm and he tells us what he likes for heaven to be like. This is what David would like for heaven to be like. This is the voices from heaven. A voice from heaven. The very first person to ever call Jehovah her shepherd was Hagar. The Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Roeh. And that's how this psalm starts out. The Lord my shepherd. Now, in John, the 10th chapter, we have Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he was the shepherd that was here and the shepherd in John 10. And he's also the God of Psalm 46, 1 through 3. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our protector. Even though our eyes close in death, he's there for us always. He's there to take us up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who's going to watch after me. A shepherd, Jesus said, the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. That means that my shepherd loves me so much that he gave his life for me. And that's Jesus. He is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. Boy, it seems like we always need something, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. If you had everything in the world and you don't have health, you are in real need. I was talking to a faith healer the other day, was telling him, you know, they wanted to lay hands on me. I said, I don't need it. The Lord's got his hand on me all the time. All the time. I said, if he wants me to live, I'll be alive. I cannot be killed. And not until he's finished with me. And I don't know when that is, but he is my shepherd. He is my God. He is my healer. He is my Jehovah Rapha. I may not be well, but I'm alive. I may not be strong, but I'm alive. I might be not robust in health, but I'm alive. I shall not want, because he's always there. A good shepherd always takes care of his sheep. If they need doctoring, he doctors them. Mm-hmm. They need food, he makes sure they have food. He makes sure that they have water. Mm-hmm. Marilyn, you were a shepherd.
Yes.
You were a shepherd. And the sheep depended on you, didn't they? They looked at you just like you were the greatest savior in the world. And the little innocent eyes, didn't they?
Yes.
They put your head in your breast and lay their little heads on you. Put their arms on their heads underneath your arm and just lean on you.
They did.
The Lord is my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He makes me to lie down at the table. At the dinner table. I lay down at the dinner table. I'm laying down on my food. My food's all around me. I tell you what, I've been hungry in my life. And when you're hungry, you go to bed hungry and you wake up hungry. When I was a baby, I lived in a dirt floor shack with a door, but it didn't have a door on it. It had a tarp flap. You flipped the thing up and went out, and you flipped the thing up and came in, and we had one little window on the west side of that little shack, probably 12 by 17 feet or something like that. Had one bed in it, one little tiny table and a wood stove. No electricity, no running water. But the dirt floor was hard. My grandmother would take a pail of water and throw water out on the floor and then sweep it and sweep the dust outside. And the ground was just like tile. It's cold in the wintertime. We had an outhouse with two holes in it. And finally, when I fell down the outhouse, my grandpa made another little hole for me so I wouldn't fall down the outhouse. Took a bath in the canal in the summertime, and that went from October through April, I think it was, at that time. Or from April to October. We had to go to the neighbor's house and get a bucket of water. But now and then, when my neighbor was watering his fields, they had a ditch coming in there, and a hole went down in the ground. And that went down an irrigation pipe that went over there in his field. And he'd order, and we had water in the yard then. That's close. Had water in the yard. We didn't have to go someplace else. Crawdads and fish would come flopping by. We didn't have a refrigerator. We didn't have a gas stove. We ate beans. That was it. And the beans, we didn't put them in the refrigerator in the summertime. When we'd come home from the fields, they would be out there boiling, fermenting. And then my grandmother would throw a pinch of baking soda in there and then start the fire up. And I'm going to tell you something. In 120 degree outside and you got a wood stove in the house, that's hot. But she'd boil those beans 20 minutes before we ever ate them. And we still get sick sometimes. You didn't want to put meat in the beans. Nothing but hog grinds is what we if we had them. The meat would get sour and make you sick. But we didn't have much of that anyway. He makes me lie down among my food source. He leads me beside quiet water, still water. You know, a sheep won't drink from running water. They're afraid of it. You have to make a pond out for them where they can go out there and drink in still water. Long time ago in the late 1800s, over a guy by the name of Lopez, working for the Tejon Ranch for General Beale, brought 10,000 sheep up here, and they went over Westgard Pass and Gilbert Pass and came in Fish Lake Valley and watered the sheep real good down there by the Oasis Ranch and the Snow Goose Ranch where I used to live. Then he took them over Lida and he hid out there in that desert. And they hired this man that lied to him, and he said he knew the route all the way to Wyoming where they were going. And he didn't. Then he got out there. Lopez was on his favorite horse and had his good dog with him. And he got out there by 495 and the road to Fish Lake Valley is someplace out there in the middle of nowhere. And he told the man that had guided him, supposed to be guiding him, go out there, that running water, take a ditch, dig a ditch, and dig out a pond so the sheep will drink. The fool didn't do it. And the sheep scattered everywhere. They were all over there this side of Goldfield, Nevada, when Goldfield, Nevada wasn't there yet, really. Lopez took off on that horse. He was so dry and thirsty that he absolutely passed out looking for the sheep, trying to gather all the sheep up, drive them back. He had them go ahead and dig the hole and dig a little pond for them so they could go out there and drink. But the sheep had run off because they were afraid. So he goes out and gathers up as much as he can with his dog and his horse, and he absolutely faints of exhaustion. And his horse took him back to the camp, and his dog lead him away, driving the cattle, or driving the sheep. He knew then he couldn't trust that guide. We got a guide here that we can trust. We got a guide here we can trust. Lopez went all the way up there, delivered those sheep, left his horse and left his dog, and came back, and General Bill said, "You did such a good job with no help that I want you to be manager of my whole ranch, the Tejon Ranch." Because he could be trusted. The Savior that we have, the Shepherd that we have, can be trusted. He makes me lie down in my food source, green pasture. He leads me beside these still, quiet waters, peaceful waters. He restores my soul. Always, he's making sure I'm alive and well and fit for the job. He guides me in the path of righteousness. For in grace you are having been saved through faith. That is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are created unto good works. And that's what it is, that we should follow in path of righteousness. Why? Not for us, but for His name's sake. And here we have this. I faced this too many times. Well, Marilyn's had cancer 3 times. She was dying with congestive heart failure, acute congestive heart failure, atrial fibrillation, diabetes, and COPD. I fought hard to get her oxygen. She was dying. I fought hard to get her into a hospital where they could help her and get her past the acute congestive heart failure. She was facing death. In bed 22 hours a day. Now she's up and going like a champ, better than me. We went to the doctor the other day, and the doctor told her 3 times, Marilyn said, "How am I doing?" The doctor looked at her and said, "You're alive because of your husband. Do what he tells you." And she asked him again later on. He said, "You are alive because of your husband. Do what he tells you." I'm alive because of my shepherd. Mm-hmm. I'm alive because of my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I will feel no evil because you're there with me. As I've been through these terrible times, operations and danger, been poisoned, my car was sabotaged, contracts out on me. Here, I'm just trying to preach. Is that true, Marilyn? Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Went out there in my shop one time. I was suffering from acute arsenic and mercury poisoning that was induced to me. And then they kept on trying to kill me. Went out there and broke into the garage. Got underneath the rear of my pickup, my Tundra pickup, which I drove every day. And they took the nuts off of the U-bolts of the rear end. Completely off on one side, and on the other side they loosened them way up. And then poured mercury down the intake where the heater goes into the, or where it goes into the heater and the air conditioner. Well, in the wintertime, it gets hot enough in there to melt mercury and turn, make it into vapor. And then you got a problem. That's poison. Marilyn got a little bit of that, didn't you, Marilyn? We found one of the vials. Sheriff office, I called him out there, and he got in there, and he looked at that. He said, there's wrench marks on those nuts. And I said, yep, there sure are. He said, this wasn't action. This was an intent to do great bodily harm or death. You got any pictures of them doing this? And I said, no. Well, I said, if you see them, shoot to kill. Because they're not coming here for your good. And I told him who it was. He said, they looked the records up, and they said, yeah, these people are real capable of all of this. Call us if you think you got time, if you see him. Remember when he said that, Mary? If you think you're safe enough, call us. If not, start shooting. That's not good to live like that. It's not good to live like that. I don't like that type of excitement. I went to concealed weapon and armed guard classes. And I was in the classes with some really rough people. They were security guards. They were bodyguards. Some of them had been in the Middle East in the wars and were missing a leg or something. And they lived on adrenaline. I don't like the living on adrenaline. I can do really without it. But even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Just be ready. Be ready. For you are always with me. Now, this may sound awful crazy, but this is truth, people. A person shouldn't have to go through all of that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff. What is a rod and staff? Well, the staff was something that you grabbed a lamb around the neck or around the hip, the leg, and you pulled him out of danger. And then you whooped him with a rod and told him to go, don't go do that again. Mind me. Do what I tell you. Your rod and your staff, they come. Even when we get a whipping and when God rescues us out of danger, we ought to say thank you both times. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is David's idea of heaven. He was a good shepherd. And he looks to Jehovah as his shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the very presence of my enemies, and you will guard me from them while I'm eating. You've anointed my head with oil. Anointed my head with oil. That means we're special. We're anointed. We're like little Christ Christians, you know. That word in Greek is kraios. HaMashiach, in Hebrew, anointed Messiah. We're not Messiahs, but we are anointed of God to do what God wants us to do. We're anointed by God. We have His protection. We are have His choice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. He's picked us out. It says, for He picked us out before the very creation of the heavens and the earth. He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are the elect. We are the anointed. We are the choice of God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of the law, that He might redeem us, save us from the penalty of the law. He said, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. I have more than I can eat and more than I can drink. We got enough water here now that we can take a shower in it and sit there and let that warm water run over us. Used to, we only had a little water tank. We had to carry every bit of our water when we came here in Maryland. I mean, we had to go get rid of it too. When it became soiled. My cup overflows. We got more water than we need. Thank goodness to God for that. And it's like rainwater too, isn't it? Soft like rainwater. And then it says here, verse number 6, the last and final icing on the cake. This is the, they used to make birthday cakes and stuff, and it was really good. They made them in a couple of, I think it was Costco down there, and they would have this cake, and it was filled with pudding and different kind of things. They put in their cherries and different things sometimes, and it would be a vanilla or a chocolate or whatever, and they had this beautiful icing on it, and they had icing on the inside and icing on the outside, so to speak. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of this world. The goodness and loving kindness. That word loving kindness there, that is one of the messianic names. That's one of his titles. He's our man of loving kindness. He's our God of loving kindness. And will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in the house of the Lord you have protection. Because it's the Lord's house. It is His house. Not our house. We have security systems on our house. But when we're in the house of God, when we go to the house of God forever, He is our security. He is our safety factor. He is our God of loving kindness. He is our good shepherd that laid His life down for us. My Father, we send this message out for Your honor, for Your glory. We appreciate our Savior so much, what He's done for us and what He is doing for us and what He will do for us. Father, if there's one out there not saved and hears this message, I pray that they will trust in our Savior and our God, our Jehovah Roe. Father, please forgive us where we fail You. Forgive me where I fail You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.